Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
To stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again.
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welch.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
All right, welcome in. It is In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Hour number three. Bogman, Welch, you, football. Those are just words. I'm just saying words now.
Words.
Yep, lots of words. Welcome in, everybody, to Hour 3. Thank you for sticking along for us on this 4th of July weekend. I mean, it's a couple days after, but you kind of clump the whole thing in. Like, whether you're working or not, or whether you worked or work or were working for Friday, you know what I mean? Like, whether you
work,
had the day
work,
off.
Work.
Or you had to go to work. No one was doing anything Friday. And then it spills into Saturday. And it's still people are like, hey, I got an excuse to party. Like my wife will do this all the time where she'll, you know, she'll get wine. And I'm like, oh, you're drinking wine on a Tuesday, huh? She's like, yeah, we're celebrating. I'm like, yeah, what are we celebrating? What? She's like,
being alive.
Yeah, it's July. I'm like, oh, okay, we're celebrating. That's what people are doing like on a 4th of July could have been on a Tuesday. And Saturday would come around and people are like, yeah, we're celebrating. We're excited. It's a holiday.
You know what the celebrating thing I love is when you go to like a white trash restaurant, like you go to Olive
Red
Garden.
Lobster.
Like
all
it's right. Not, yeah, Red Lobster, you know, and they're owned by the same company, no surprise.
White Trash LLC.
It's White Trash Fancy LLC. Like, I love Red Lobster and I love Olive Garden.
Seriously, if we could have a restaurant, if Evan TSY came to us and they said, we want to get a restaurant sponsorship. Who would be the best restaurant to sponsor you? You and I would both, without hesitation, go Olive Garden.
Yeah, I know. And
booth. We'll do, yeah, well, whatever. But we'll do episodes from the booth and we'll
get
have
those checks from White Trash LLC.
Hey, look, I got $34 from White Trash LLC. I'll do an episode from the booth with the breadsticks as long as we have the Alfredo dip. I'm in.
Right. I mean, look, man, everybody loves Olive Garden. I'm not saying that it's a bad place at all, but I like it when the waitress is walking you back to your table or whatever. And they're like, are you celebrating anything today? It's like, yeah, that I can eat this dinner for $20. Like, that's what I'm celebrating. You know, it's
that's a day. I don't care about the calories I'm going to consume.
Right. You're not a steakhouse. You know, we aren't talking $100 a plate
that
or anything
is weird.
Like that.
You're actually blowing my mind here. I don't think I ever thought about that. You're right. Every time I've walked in, I'd be like, you know, how many? We're like two. Like, oh, you guys celebrating something tonight? We're like, yeah, that we're eating dinner. What are you talking about? Yeah, this isn't Steak 44.
Well,
we didn't
go there. Dude,
we didn't call for reservations.
The last time I was at Red Lobster, two people were sung happy birthday.
Okay, like, but that's white trash happy birthday.
Well, one of it was like a group of teenagers that were eating a Red Lobster and their buddy was clearly, you know, they're just doing it to embarrass him. It's probably not even his birthday.
And I've done that before. Like I don't remember if it was like mine or my wife's or my kids. Like we were up north and we were just like looking for somewhere to go. And it was on a birthday trip and we went and it was kind of like, oh, we're at Olive Garden for a birthday. But still, that's not enough to be like, oh, yeah, we are celebrating tonight.
We put on our fancy, our best Who Farted t-shirt, you know.
Put on my best overalls. I took my socks off with my sandals today.
That's right. Once a year, we come here to Olive Garden because we're so trashy, right?
Yeah,
so,
yeah, exactly.
I don't know.
How did we get on White Trash LLC?
Yeah, who else belongs to White Trash LLC?
Well, who else do they own? Who else do they own?
To be honest, I don't know. All I know is that, like, Red Lobster and Olive Garden are always next to each other because the same company owns them. And when they buy out a spot, they generally buy out two buildings to make both restaurants.
What do you think if we did like a poll of the? It's got to be a restaurant, so you can't. No one can say like McDonald's or Burger King or whatever. But like an actual sit down restaurant, what is like the epitome of? And we are using white trash very lovingly, everybody. We're very lovingly.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah. But like, what do you think the epitome of that is? Is it like, I mean, no one goes to a Sizzler anymore, but like 20 years ago, it was a Sizzler. Like, so who are on that list of like, here's the, you know, nicest sit down, but white trash places. It's Olive Garden, probably Red Lobster's the seafood Olive Garden version for the white trash people. Olive Garden.
I'm looking up. It looks like Golden Gate Capital is a private equity firm that bought Red Lobster. And here is, they own Panda Express.
See, that's a fast food thing, though.
California Pizza Kitchen.
Okay. I like CPK.
The rest of this is actually kind of Bob Evans.
Last time I went to CPK, dude, I'm telling you, I went there and I was like with the work person. We're sitting there and the waitress is just kind of like disconnected. She was fine. She just, you know, she was one of those waitresses that you don't think she hates you. She just thinks she hates where she is. And right. she's not anything special. And then after she comes over with the check and she's like, we have an app for California Pizza Kitchen. And my boss says I have to get 3 today. Will you download this? And I was just like, okay. I'm like, yeah, I guess you had the balls to just come up and ask me to download this because you need to meet your quota. And yeah, sure.
And it looks like they might be broken up now. Because this says Darden Restaurants owns Olive Garden. Uh-oh. And then this Golden Gate.
Trouble in Paradise.
Golden Gate Capital owns Red Lobster. So.
All right.
So I don't know.
How did we get on the White Trash LLC? Thing?
I have no idea how we started talking about Red Lobster and Olive Garden.
I don't know how we got to any of these. By the way, this is in a completely unintended transition to it, but did you see that Jared Lorenzen died?
Oh God. Yeah, I did.
The hefty lefty, as he was known.
Yep. The hefty lefty out of Kentucky. I remember watching him at Kentucky. I mean, the guy was the size of a left tackle, but he had a cannon. And remember what was that weird arena league team he played for?
It
was
something
River Monsters.
Yeah, I don't remember. Was it like the Kentucky like Barnstormers or something? Does that sound right? Because he played at Kentucky.
It was definitely
Oh, here it is. It was the Northern Kentucky River Monsters of the Continental Indoor Football League.
Okay, Continental Indoor.
But he broke his leg while he was there, and that ended it. What I remember, but outside of like, he was incredible to watch at Kentucky, and then he went to the Giants. And then he played in that league. But what I remember, this was like, God, I want to say it was like a year or two ago that he was doing this. He was doing some like weight loss thing. Like I think it was like a reality show. And I think what he was doing was like follow along. And he was doing like motivational videos talking about the process. And that was like, I don't know, 18 months ago or something like that. And I just remember seeing it. And I was like, well, this is going to be really interesting to see in like a year. You know, like where he's at with the process. But
man, I didn't know this. He got up to 5 bills.
Oh my God, really?
Well, see, that's tall.
But see, that's where I think he was when that's my problem too, Boggs. Is like I'm 6 foot four, but the weight, you know, like doesn't look quite where it is, but it's there and it can pack on more. But
well, he was 6'4". You've never weighed 5 bills.
Not yet. Not yet. Not yet. But this is horrible. So, and this is, you and I need to wake up.
Yeah, it's 30, one of those things where it's
38 years old. He passed away on Wednesday from battling, I didn't know any of this, but he was battling kidney and heart issues as well as
he didn't know either
infection.
Until 3 days ago or 3 days before he died. He went into the hospital. He said he just hadn't been feeling good for a while. So he went to the hospital, I think it was on June 28th, and then he passed away on July 3rd.
Oh, man.
So it was 5 days.
This is a tweet from, it was a quote from their family. It says, "It is with a heavy hearts that the family of Jared Lorenzen would like to extend our sincere thanks and appreciation for all the support and prayers over the last 6 days. We are deeply saddened to announce the passing of Jared July 3rd, 2019. Talking about arrangements and he had kids and he was 38 years old. Ugh.
Yeah, it's terrible. And every tweet that you see about Jared Lorenzen is just like how much of a great guy he was and how much he, you know, everyone looked forward to seeing him. And it's just, it's awful that this stuff has happened.
He was a big personality. That was a big thing that was with him too. Like, he was a big guy and everything. I'm actually, literally, I just opened up my Twitter and I see his Twitter account, KFC, you know, KFC Radio, KFC from Barstool. Like, I think he did a bunch of stuff with them. Literally, I see a tweet here of a video from Jared Lorenzen, and this definitely is in the 500 bill range, but he was like a big personality guy. So obviously, you know, because he's one of those guys that you look at him and you're like, well, this is like, I mean, this is an offensive lineman that's playing quarterback, but he was so athletic and so didn't give a crap about anything. He just did his thing. So he was able to be the starting quarterback at Kentucky, weighing 300 plus pounds. Then he made it to the NFL, where I don't know if he was 280 or 300 still. And then the weight really, really got ahead of him. But all the time, he was always still this like big personality dude, funny, commenting on games and stuff. But by the way, did you know that he holds the record for most career passing yards at Kentucky with over 10,000?
I'm not surprised, man. He was a good quarterback, you know, and a lefty and all that stuff, too. So he couldn't control the weight. And yeah, look, if there's anyone that understands that issue, it's this guy. So, you know, I get it. And that's why they're always the jokes. And you could see he's very athletic for a big guy, too. Like he would scramble and everyone would make their jokes about it. You know, it's just like when, you know, a big fat defensive lineman would catch an interception. Oh, look at him rumble. You know, they'd always do that stuff. For Lorenzen too, but he was pretty good. He was a good quarterback, and trust me, it was like trying to stop the fridge at the goal line. You weren't going to stop him; he'd dive right in.
Yeah.
So
it's
super sad,
and it's just very like, I don't know, it's jarring. I mean, the stuff.
To see someone die at 38.
Well, and we just talked about earlier the Tyler Skaggs stuff, which is just heart wrenching, and then just kind of. It's like time traveling is what happens with these things. Like, sure, we're not sitting around thinking about Jared Lorenzen a whole bunch, but then all of a sudden you see this and you're like, what? Like, no, what? What are we talking about? And then you start to remember, like, wait, no, I remember him at Kentucky. And oh my God. And then you have self-realization. It's just a really weird effect that happens when you see these things that, not that there is like a, like there's, you know, there's not a time that's okay. Like really, like what is the time that's okay for dying? I think seeing people die in their 60s is sad at this point. And also because that's less than half of my life away. But like you see that happen and it's jarring. But my God, you see something under 40, especially as two 36-year-olds. It's just like, what? Yeah. What? I remember playing with Jared Lorenzen in the college video games.
Yeah, exactly. And it, I just don't know, man. This is, he just went in. I didn't even know he was having health issues. Like,
well, we knew there were health issues, but like, well, I didn't know he was in the hospital. I didn't hear about that, this like yeah, 6 days
that,
ago.
That's what it was. I mean, I thought because the immediate tweet that I saw was his mom saying that he died after a battle. And I was like, did he have cancer? That because he's 38. That's the first thing that goes to my mind. And obviously not the case. It was the kidney disease and heart failure. So
nuts,
awful stuff, man.
Nuts, terrible. Man. It's nuts. A lot of, and you know, football in general seems to, it just, we have like a lot of like these like fleeting, crazy pieces of news. That one is disheartening. Not that, you know, he was going to be back in the NFL or anything like that. But like I told you before, I was waiting for the kind of after moments of the series that was going to happen. Cause he was doing this video series and I was like, it's going to be great. You know, I'm into this also. Cause you know, he rolled with it. He wasn't like a reluctant, like, I got to lose weight. He was like, no, I'm going to document my series. You're going to come along with me. And I was like, all right, let's go.
Well, it's just another thing that he was trying to do to help people. And it's awful.
Crazy. So. The rest of this hour, we are going to be talking football. We're going to be talking some fantasy football. We have been doing that over on the In This League Fantasy Football podcast. So I just want to reiterate to everybody this weekend, maybe you're, relaxing, cruising along, catching back up. You're like, oh yeah, ITL. Hey, what's up guys? ITL Fantasy Football. We have had multiple mock drafts. I think we are stepping into 4.0. That's coming up next week, I think. Or 3.0. Just trying to keep up 4.0.
With it. 4.0, you're right. Yeah.
But we did a dynasty week with a dynasty mock. We just did our quarterback series, quarterback ranks with our buddy Joe Pizzapia. and a Superflex mock. This week, we have got our running back facts episode. So it's not a running back ranks episode necessarily, but we're going to be doing the fact series. We got a great guest on there, and we are going to be doing a standard draft with, I think, a few more people on this one. And we're kind of like theming the mock drafts to the episode. So we have already got, even in the last 3 weeks, six or seven massively informative, good fantasy football episodes. So you want to really deep dive, make sure you're subscribed to the In This League Fantasy Football podcast everywhere that podcasts are, Spotify, you know, iHeartRadio, all those places, iTunes. iTunes, you can leave a rate and review, but get locked over there, support your boys. And then obviously, we also dropped our ranks on July 1st for our fantasy football ranks, our 2019 fantasy football ranks. And those are available over on patreon.com/ITL Army. And we've got some other cool stuff that is dropping. One note, because I don't think we need to go on to this a whole bunch because we've only got a minute anyways, but Ezekiel Elliott avoiding suspension is just the weirdest thing. Like, I almost was like, should we just copy and paste this every offseason? Are we gonna have to walk into July and August and just say, oh, hey, whew, he just avoided suspension? I didn't even realize that like an actual suspension was looming with him. And then everybody was tweeting about it earlier in the week, like, oh, he avoided it, he's not gonna be suspended, oh, we're all good now. And it's like,
it was just so lame. There was no reason for that. Like, there's no, like, it was some weird incident with the security guard. No one was hurt. There was no arrest record or anything. It was just, you know, he had an incident with the security guard. And I understand he's on, you know, whatever, probation for all of his nonsense with the NFL, yeah. Not for real, but for all of his other nonsense. But give me a break. This was nothing.
It was crazy. All right. Well, don't go anywhere. When we come back, we're going to be talking about a big sleeper article that was over on ESPN. We'll talk about some of their sleepers and a whole bunch more fantasy football stuff right here in this league on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Don't go anywhere.
NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
You want to punch me right now, but you won't.
Why don't you punch me in the face?
Punch me in the face!
Hey, Derek, you know what's always good for shoulder pain?
What?
If you lick my...
In This League.
Welcome back. Bogman and the Welsh. In This League right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Talking some fantasy foosball. If you guys want to talk more fantasy foosball with us, Patreon.com/ITL Army. We promoted it before, but our ranks are up there. We've got the GroupMe room, so you can actually not just talk football with us. You can talk with like a bunch of other ITL Army members, the people that love us. Right, Bogman? Everybody right. Loves us in there unconditionally. No conditions attached whatsoever. Just all the love in the world.
Our buddy, the Cowboy fans were in a little bit of a tizzy today.
Why?
So
what did
it
we
was
do?
Just it was just, you know, the Cowboy fans versus everybody else in there, which is always fun.
Yeah.
But Will, who's, you know, we've known Will since high school, is in there. And
oh, our Will, not Alabama man.
Yeah, our Will. So he's in there defending the Cowboys too much. So I put in a bunch of haters ball gifts in there today. So.
I hate you. All the bad things in the world happen to you. All that type of stuff. But
It is fun.
We try to create a cool universe around all of it. We've got Bogman's done a cool thing this year where we're accumulating the captains in our ITL Army's ranks. And we're going to have a couple different sheets. Their ranks with ours to make a cumulative, and then our ranks versus the ITL Army's cumulative. So here's the deal. There's just a bunch of conversation in the ITL Army around fantasy football and like-minded people. So whether you just want to talk with the like-mindeds, you know, these are people that listen to our show, whether you want to end up starting leagues, you can get into our listener leagues. and it directly supports us. So that's a cool way that you guys can interact, have fun, and maybe even upgrade your... I always kind of liken it to how sports has taken... No one, I mean, people admit this, but there's plenty of people that will not admit this, that the NFL, doesn't matter what sport it is, has taken an exponential boost from gambling, where the most boring Jaguars-Bills game, which no one would ever care about on television or want to watch, has been boosted by gambling on the game and fantasy sports. So sports have just taken such a big boost that sometimes they don't want to acknowledge, sometimes they do.
Can you think of a worse game last year than the Thursday night football game that was between Jacksonville and Tennessee? Titans.
Yep. Oh, God, yeah. I remember you and us talking, you and I talking about that. And Bogman does the Thursday nights with Bogman live stream on Patreon.
That's to
make
right.
it a little bit better. But my point, Boggs, was that where fantasy sports and gambling have assisted in the growth of sports, I think things like what we do have assisted in the growth of love for fantasy. So these people that are more invested in their sport, actual sport, boring, stupid games, are invested because they're betting and they're doing fantasy sports. We have a version to pump that where like-minded people, conversation, talking about gambling, talking about fantasy, you know, like we help that area that helps the other area. So it's just another realm for you guys to enjoy your fantasy sports, whether you have a bunch of people that enjoy it like you or not, which not everybody does. You know, I try to explain fantasy anytime to my wife and she's like, I wish I was in a fantasy right now. And it doesn't have to do like, with football players.
She's like, so what do the wizards do?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
There's no wizards.
There's all no right? Gumballs.
Harry Potter is not involved in this.
She's pretty I promise. Quidditch somehow has something to do with something, she thinks.
Well, what about the dragons?
What about the dragons? Exactly. We've got an interesting article up here, and let me phrase this to you. I was almost going to phrase this to start, do sleepers still exist? And we've had this conversation. I think we did this last week, and we've talked about that on the football podcast. On the inverse, do you think sleepers have died so bus reigns supreme? Because the question was going to be, do we think bus exists? And I think it's a resounding yes, but actually, I think the bus, the fantasy bust, is more prevalent than it's ever been before because expectations are, there's so much info out there, Boggs. Everyone is writing an article about everything. Every single player on the planet is a sleeper. People convolute sleeper versus value versus breakout. And what ends up happening is that expectations are so high on these sleepers, on the players taken at the top, that it creates more bust than we can possibly imagine. So much so, Bogman, that you could take a guy in the second round who can return you second to third round value. People will see him as a bust if more players jumped lower over him. Like the quarterback thing. We just did quarterback facts, Boggs, where we saw 8 of the top 16 quarterbacks came from round 11 or lower. And what that ends up doing is it creates these, quote, busts on quarterbacks who were fine where they were taken. There were just better values before. So I present to you, are bust actually maybe the most over, maybe it's the most overused term, and there are more than ever because of all this info?
It definitely could be. And I think another thing contributing to that is I feel like we're finally in a point, and part of the reason the sleepers don't exist is because there's so much information out there. Everyone's going to have someone where, like a guy that I would consider a sleeper this year is a dude like Darwin Thompson, right? He's a rookie running back drafted out of Utah State on Kansas City. You know, if something should happen to Damian Williams, Carlos Hyde is old, maybe that guy comes in and has a big year. Like that's a sleeper to me because it's so deep, right?
Yeah.
That basically no one's talking about that guy. But when we're talking about bust, I feel like another thing contributing to this is that people enjoy complaining more about their players that didn't produce and making excuses for why their team didn't win than bragging about a guy that has vaulted his value and made your team good.
I mean, Boggs, and that's a life lesson, though, too. Like people, I focus more on the negative. I can hear 10 amazing comments where people are like, oh, my God, you guys are so funny. I love you guys are the best podcast. Thank you for all your info. You guys did this, all these awesome things. And then one dickhead calls Bogman a hack on Twitter and we have to block him because he's a loser who's never tweeted and it just ruins your day. It ruins your day. So the anger is always the focus. Ironically, though, it is like this external thing where analysts, you know, all they want to do is tweet about players. They never focus on the negative. You know, it's that whole thing where there's that sect of people that it's like, everybody always focuses on all the positive. No one admits when they're wrong. And it's like, you know what? That's actually a trope now, because there are very few people that don't talk about the things that they're wrong with. It's just those are what the trolls want to hear. The trolls want everyone, let's be accountable. Talk about all the things that you were wrong. Don't talk about the things you're right. Let's hear the things that are wrong. And everybody does. But you, as the troll, want to focus on the bad. So to that point, you're right. People have more fun blasting the loser players than they do talking about what a freaking amazing value Matt Ryan was last year.
Right, exactly. And there's more people ranking Patrick Mahomes lower. There's no way you can repeat that number. And they're probably right, to be honest with you. But, you know, there's more people ranking him lower, I feel like, or making the statement, there's no way I'm going to have Patrick Mahomes because this, that, and the other thing. I feel like, And I feel like getting back to your original question about busts, like there are no sleepers. So are there really busts anymore? I don't know that there are. And I mean, it's a buzzy term. Sleepers and busts are always buzzy terms. But I think that every player comes with a certain amount of risk. And I think you have to understand the risk you're buying when you buy a player.
So you have to manage your risk bucks accordingly.
Oh, God, no. God, so what I do?
If you have 100 risk bucks.
Oh, no.
If you take Patrick Mahomes in the second round, you have to equate the dollar value of risk bucks to your overall budget.
System. What about risk pesos? Risk yen? Risk rubles.
We risk bucks are similar to Bitcoin. It is a universal currency, no. Bachman, and it is acknowledged across the world. We don't have to coordinate with the Euro bucks, Euro risk bucks, or anything like that. We have no Brexits to worry about with our risk bucks. Which, by the way,
risk pounds.
Our boy, I'm still waiting. Jag told me 2 weeks ago that he has potentially an outline for risk bucks. And I'm very excited to see them. So this is a nudge at you, Jag. Let's see those wrist bucks. It's football season. It's time for them because Bogman is presenting wrist bucks to us. I get what you're saying, though, back to the point. I think I'm going to be pretty hard stanced about this, that I think the death of the sleeper happened a couple years ago, but the rise of the bust is bigger than it's ever been before because the word sleeper is not going to be attached to second round players or third round players, but bust could be attached to every single round, even if they return value, because bust isn't necessarily just about their performance. It'll become about the performance of the players around them even more so. So, you know, and we've got this article here, by the way. This is ESPN's. I thought this would be interesting to talk about. Bogman pulled this and I liked it. It's kind of a compilation of a bunch of their people. Quarterbacks, you do love compilations. Quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, and tight ends. And it takes all of their writers and it lists the sleepers and the busts at each category.
It really makes them drill down on one. Like you get to pick one sleeper, one bust. Who are those guys that you're taking?
And what's interesting about it is, and it's part of the formula, the more that you look at it. I was doing a little observation across the board, where the sleepers have these mid names, and I'd love to know their definition when we talk about it, because you and I have had to talk about what's the definition of sleeper. Is it based on value? Because I still think a sleeper can be a 6-round pick who returns 2nd-round value. To me, that is a sleeper. That's a sleeper to their value, which that is not the common term. So much so, just looking at, I'm going to jump to the sleepers on running backs for a minute. All of these running backs, outside of one, like Tom Carpenter actually has Kerryon Johnson as a sleeper running back. Everybody else went completely away from that, and they're picking, you know, Daryl Henderson, Jalen Samuels. You know, it's the buzz guys. Kalen Ballage, this is their number one sleeper. It's almost like their definition has to be, this is the guy that no one's drafting that could, you know, return RB2 value. And it's like, well, me personally, I don't believe that's the case, where the busts across the board are the highest end of high guys. Busts are, I mean, you're going to see running backs taken in the first round, wide receivers that are taken in the second round. That's kind of the determination to say, well, these guys cannot return value. But busts are across the board. A sleeper not working out is going to be a bust. A player not returning his value is a bust. So my hard stance is busts are more than ever, and the sleepers have died. But regardless of that, you want to talk about these quarterbacks?
Yeah, let's talk about the quarterbacks. But real quick, do you feel like the sleepers or the busts are more universally recognized?
Elaborate. What do you mean?
Do you think more people are going to pick the same sleepers or the same busts? Like, I feel like busts are more the same.
I agree with you.
Everybody's going to pick Leonard Fournette the bust. Like, that's just like the popular thing to do this year. I'm not going to do it because he's not a bust unless he's hurt, which he's always hurt. So,
you know, let's talk about the running backs for a minute. The running backs for a minute since we're there, because I was about to say this next guy, and you're right, because you've got Matt Bowen, Keith Lipscomb, that confused me, and Andre Snellings. Both have Leonard Fournette. The guy I was going to say that I think could be common shows up on three others. Le'Veon Bell for Matthew Berry, Tom Carpenter, and Trisha Cockcroft. Those guys all have Le'Veon Bell. So two players represent, I don't know, what is it, 60% of this bus list. So you're right. The commonality is not across the board because people see the bus and they say, well, it's got to be a top end. It's got to be who's in the first couple rounds that can't return value, where everybody picks from this super bottom end that sleepers can only be in the bottom rounds. And I think both of those are interesting. Fournette is a very, very common one. Le'Veon Bell is another interesting one. Is it more about his system not working with New York, or is it about that they didn't want him?
It's about Adam Gase, and not wanting him. And that's actually one of the things that Matthew Berry brought up in his 100 Facts article, is about how bad the running backs under Adam Gase have been overall. And like, he had Matt Forte in Chicago when, like, right after a couple of years, Matt Forte had been good, and then they brought Adam Gase in, and then Matt Forte started to suck. When you look at Miami and you see, you know, last year the path was clear for Kenyon Drake to take this job and run with it. He just didn't let him do that.
He's the running back. He's the zero running back NFL head coach. Like, he's the head coach version of the no running back movement in fantasy. That's what he is. So Le'Veon Bell makes a lot of sense, you know, outside of, and we can, by the way, we can kill the like bus sleeper. What's this? What's that? Who's what, where, when, why? We can just talk about the actual names. I think Le'Veon Bell and Fournette are easily at the top of the list, like from a commonality standpoint. I will tell you, I am shocked not one person selected Todd Gurley, because his values come down and everyone completely comes off of that. By the way, Todd Gurley doesn't show up as a sleeper or a bust in this article. Everyone just washes their hands of it.
Yeah, I think that's a weird situation, because you have, the ceiling is to be the best player in the NFL again, right? And for him to put up the most fantasy points at running back by a ton, which is what he did last year in 14 games. So that's his ceiling. But him getting hurt and looking like he did in the playoffs last year, and having CJ Anderson be a better option than him, is his floor. So there's no gray area for that. Like, I know there are people that are staunchly against Todd Gurley, but I'm just not going to be one of those guys. I'm going to wait to see if someone proves their value for the most part. But I'm also going to see if a guy has completely fallen off the cliff for the most part too. And I don't think Todd Gurley's there, but yeah, this list, who would you pick out of the players on the bus list from all the personalities at ESPN?
You've got four others. You've got Sony Michel for Mike Clay. Casey Joyner lists Lamar Miller. Jim McCormick has Kenyon Drake, and Darius Geis is Field Yates' pick. So I was going to, okay, so let's each pick one, and then I want to do a buy or sell on these. I would say the one I'm buying the most,
this is two bust.
Two bust. Yeah, exactly. I'm sorry. The one I'm going to buy the most to bust, I'm having a hard time. It's between Sony Michel and Leonard Fournette. I think I'm going to go with Fournette, because his cost is still really high relative to, I mean, you would obviously admit this, like, the industry just craps on him nonstop. So you would think, like, because of that, his value would be super lower, and it's just not.
Yeah, and I get that. Like, he comes with a lot of injury risk. He was hurt at LSU. He's been hurt his first two seasons. in Jacksonville. So there's a lot going against him saying, well, why would he be hurt again this year? My point when I talk about Leonard Fournette is every running back misses a game here, a game there. It's not that surprising. As long as he doesn't fall into the I miss six games again category, he's going to bring you back value. But
so who's your
my guy, I think it's Sony Michel. Yeah. I'm really worried about that knee with him. Now, he's fine now, but it's not like he's Todd Gurley. He's not a super established guy. He was very good last year, but they also brought in Damian Harris. I feel like he's going to play a bunch, and they've been there's been a lot of buzz on him in camp. So I think the guy, if I'm picking out of this list, that Sony Michel is going to be my guy.
Yeah, that's a good one. We'll cover a little bit more of that because I also want to rank these or buy or sell. We're going to do wide receivers and quarterbacks when we come back, so don't go anywhere. More In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network for one final segment coming up.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
In This League.
I thought we were going to be just friends.
What? Friends
in the... In This League.
In the dark.
Welcome back. Final segment of the In This League 3-hour edition right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. If you missed any of it, you can go back and listen on the podcast. It's available over at fantasysportsnetwork.com. It's available on Spotify, iTunes. Just search In This League. You are going to be inundated with a lot of shows, a lot of podcasts, but you'll be able to tell which one this is. And this one's just literally just called In This League, and it's got the white background and everything. You can go listen there. And also, you can just keep us locked in with the app, the FNTSY app, also on iHeartRadio. And I know football season, they got some movements around. I don't know if ITL is going to get kicked around at all as far as when the live programming hits, but follow along their schedule. Follow us on Twitter at @IsItTheWelsh, @BogmanSports. So if you do want to listen to the live version, we will tell you all the times there. But the podcast, people, our listeners are on the podcast. I feel bad. Our guys over, one of the producers over at FNTSY, one of the days, a couple weeks back, they accidentally put just some other show. I don't even know what show it was on the podcast. And
On the podcast.
Yeah. And I just immediately on the podcast, someone hit me up. They're like, hour two and three, those aren't you. Those are not you guys. And I'm like, no, it's us. And like, it's not you. And they listen. I'm like, oh, it's not us. I'm like, okay. And then I'm like, oh, I'll email them. And then like 20 minutes later, still not you. Still not you guys. It's still another show. And I'm like, okay, we're working on it. We'll get it. And then it got off. So it's like, I appreciate that. I like intensity.
No mistakes allowed.
Yeah. No, I like it. I like intensity of people.
Oh, hell yes.
Yeah. You know, wanting to listen to our show. So we were talking about ESPN. They got their article and you can go check it out on ESPN.com. It's called the Fantasy Football Sleepers, Busts, and Breakouts for 2019. I guess they do have a breakout section. God, what are all their designations for these?
Man, they got so much stuff in this article. I mean, it's extremely deep. It's not your, you know, you're kind of used to with these kind of bigger sites, like top 10 bust.
Yeah.
They get BuzzFeed-y, but this one has come out every single year. So this is kind of one of their traditional ones. So they have sleepers, busts, and then breakouts at the bottom. And then they have, you know, write-ups on a lot of the players.
It's a good article. Good free content that ESPN's got. And especially if, you know, there's definitely a lot of people. You know, people listen to this are probably a little bit more of the independent mind. I mean, there's a herd mentality to like, oh, ESPN's got it. Okay, I'll just take a look. But there are people that, you know, they don't love the guys over there, but someone might be a Matthew Berry guy or maybe a Mike Clay guy or something like that. So you can be interested and see what they what they're putting out there. So running backs, we were talking about, I picked Leonard Fournette is my bust of their list. You picked Sony Michel. You want to do a quick buy or sell on these? Let's okay, here we go.
Yeah.
I'm going to start with Le'Veon Bell. Buy or sell as a 2019 bust?
Sell.
I'm going to also sell. I'm going to sell that one.
I'm going to rank him a little lower, but I'm going to say sell on overall bust.
I also think he cannot return his actual drafted spot value and he'll still be valuable. Like let's say, you know, he's a unanimous RB 7 or 6 or something like that. I think he's going to return RB12, an RB1 value. Yes. So he's not. He might not return the value of a couple running backs behind him, but he'll still return value. But people will still call him a bust because of that. And that's what's so weird about the term bust. I've already bought into Leonard Fournette as a bust. You are selling.
Yeah, I'm going to sell that too. I love Leonard Fournette.
You bought Michelle and I mentioned Michelle. So we both are going to buy into the, and I know I just noticed he was on there twice. I didn't realize that Eric Carabel and Mike Clay both had Sony Michelle. Lamar Miller, buy or sell as a bust.
I
see that report. Deontay Foreman looking light years better.
I saw that.
Light years.
I'm going to buy this one. And it's not because I do love Foreman. Like, all this adds up to where I should be waving a huge flag for Deontay Foreman. I should be like, no, you have to draft Foreman. He's going to be great. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that. What I'm going to tell you is that I am not buying in on Lamar Miller again. It's nice that he Deshaun Watson. Well, he was good last year. Like, he was actually, everyone picked him as a bust last year. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you he was worth, you know, a second round pick or anything, but he was worth where he was going. And he actually became a value at the end of the draft season when he kept falling and falling. But he's going to fall off the cliff at some point, and I'm just backing away until he does. I'm not going to be the guy holding him when he does.
Not going to hold that falling knife is what you're saying.
No falling knife.
So you are buying.
I'm buying that bust. Yes.
I'm actually going to sell that bust because I just don't think his cost is prohibitive for him to be such a massive bust. And, you know, his backup is still as cheap as it's ever been. So you can buy Lamar Miller.
What does he
Miller.
Have to do to bust? I mean, does he have to, Foreman has to out carry him, right?
Yeah. Well, hold on. Where is he? I'm going to look where he's going.
Yeah. I think it's like the sixth round somewhere. Lamar Miller? In that. Like, yeah.
I mean, that's stupid. That's ridiculous value. I don't buy it one bit. Then. Okay. So I'm going to go to PPR. Let's go. I'm on Fantasy Pros right now for everybody following.
Are you looking at ADP or rankings?
I'm going to start with rankings for a minute. Okay. And Lamar Miller is the 27th running back. So that makes him an RB3. So you want me to go to ADP?
ADP, because the rankings, you know, they matter, but sure. It, you know, not as much as the consensus ADP.
Okay, so this is what's more important here then. I'm under running backs. That's why that doesn't
jeez.
Make sense. Jeez. Wow, he's a lot lower than. Okay.
Get it together, Welsh.
I'm all in on this then. 73 overall. I am all in on buying him. I don't know why we're looking at him as a bust. This is a RB2 upside guy who's being ranked outside of the RB2 category. He's also going 73, which is what? The sixth round? Sixth, seventh round?
Yeah,
give me that.
The sixth round.
Give me that, man. I mean, he's not going, I don't think he's going, is he going above anybody egregious? He's going above Rashad Penny, Daryl Henderson, Jordan Howard. I mean, Penny's got, I think, better upside. But Lamar Miller, I think, allows you to take chances.
Going behind Penny is dumb. I mean, just anyway you cut that, because until.
He's going ahead of Penny.
He's going just ahead of Penny?
Just ahead. Like, Penny Penny is the running back after. I agree. Miles Sanders is right after Lamar Miller as well. And those might be a couple upside guys. But I don't think there's anything egregious. So I don't buy this. I actually think it's a horrible choice of a bust. Like who's looking at Lamar Miller and they're like, oh, man, you gave me bad advice. Lamar Miller bust? Shut up, loser. But Lamar Miller is your RB3. He's the seventh player you took in your draft. That's fine. That is a fine value. So I do not buy that. I don't buy that at all.
I'm still going to buy it because I feel like he has the potential to lose that job.
But Deontay Foreman comes at this at an even lower cost than he did last year. So you can get Lamar Miller and him together easy.
And that's fine. Like that's the strategy. But if you drafted Lamar Miller, right, and you also drafted Foreman, and Foreman takes that job away, you wasted a pick on Lamar Miller.
I agree.
I mean, that's just, you know.
But you might you might get a full
season.
Still
got to look at him individually.
Okay, but you might get a full season of an RB2. If you got five games of Lamar Miller and then Foreman takes a job over and you have that, you got an RB2 with a sixth and an 11th round pick.
Yeah, and he's going 67 in Fantrax too. So you're right. I mean, he's right there. Yeah. So
buy or sell Kenyon Drake as a bust.
I'm gonna sell that one. I think those guys are going so low. I mean, I think what I want to do is, like you said, if I have a deep enough bench, if I draft Drake, I also want to take Ballage just in case. But I'm gonna sell that one.
Yeah. And then final one of the running backs, Darius Geis. I'm gonna buy it.
Oh man, I feel like he is going to be the best of the Redskins running backs. Do you agree with that?
The best athlete or the best fantasy producer?
The best fantasy producer of the Redskins running backs.
I wouldn't discount it. I don't think it's not possible. I think I need more information, but I also think that, and we've said this before,
it's going to have more points than Adrian Peters.
Yeah, but see, I think like he could have, you know, I'm trying to, what's a good fantasy season? Yeah,
like 150. And he could have 600. Could also have 150.
That's what I'm getting at. Like Darius Geis could have 700 rushing yards, but Adrian Peters could have 650. You know what I mean? And like that type of stuff.
There's definitely guys going behind guys right now that I would rather have.
Yeah.
I would rather have David Montgomery, right? Than Geis.
Well, he's going ahead. I'm looking rank wise. They've got Darius.
I'm looking on FanTracks on the ADPs.
Oh, okay. I'm on Fantasy
Pros. Montgomery's going behind.
Montgomery is four spots ahead of Geis. He is the 25th running back. Geis is the 28th running back. Behind him are guys like Tevin Coleman, James White, rather have both of them. Miles Sanders, rather have him. And then it gets a little dicey.
Yeah, I mean, there's just like, where'd Geis go here? Where did he go? Because I switched over to running backs and he disappeared. Okay, there he is. Oh my God, what is wrong with these ADPs? That it's not organized by ADP. That's what it is. Okay, so just getting back to Geis here. Dave Montgomery, Lamar Miller, Tevin Coleman behind him, Miles Sanders behind him, Penny. Penny's kind of questionable, but I would rather have Montgomery, Miller, Coleman, and Miles Sanders all over Geis. Love Geis. I think he's going to be the lead producer, but like you said, I think it could be a fairly even split between.
So I buy the bust.
Me too.
Okay. Let's take a look at the wide receivers then. Wideouts, I'm going to just run through them. We've got Matthew Berry and Jim McCormick both have Jarvis Landry. You've got Brandon Cook shows up once to Matt Bowen. You've got Andre Snelling's having Cooper Kupp, so a couple of Rams wide receivers. N'Keal Harry shows up to Mike Clay. Sammy Watkins shows up for Eric Carabel and Cockcroft. Mike Williams for Field Yates and Allen Robinson to Casey Joyner. So those are all of your wide receiver busts. So you got to pick one of these guys that you buy into busting.
Oh, I don't like this list.
I'll tell you something I'm struggling with. We're going to talk about while you're thinking about this, but I want to get your take on it. I think we're going to talk about this in the wide receiver ranks and wide receiver facts episode, and I alluded to it in the quarterbacks. But when you go through the process of ranking and figuring out who you want in the Rams wide receiver core, and you realize that there's three guys that are all being valued the same, if you believe they're all going to be such high producers, Jared Goff should be, I mean, literally near the top of your quarterback ranks. If not, and there's an even out process, someone has to take the hit. And I look at Brandon Cooks, and I know he's explosive, but Woods is kind of he's like their deeper safety net, where Kupp is their lower safety net, and it just leaves the big plays for Sammy Watkins. I feel like Sammy Watkins is the most susceptible to being hit. So that kind of makes me want to bust him.
Wait a minute. Did you just put Sammy Watkins?
I'm sorry.
On the Rams?
I said Sam. I did. I meant Brandon Cooks. You know why? Cooks. It's because their names are next to each other on this list of Bowen and Carpenter. I mean, Brandon Cooks. Anything I said of Watkins was meant to be Cooks. That Cooks is their deeper option. Because like I said, Kupp is the check.
They did a great
net.
Job, though, when all of those guys were together.
They did.
So.
I looked at the numbers, too, from like, whatever it was, like, you know, the first 8 weeks of the season, like all of those guys relatively would have somewhere between 3 and 6 catches a game.
Right. Exactly. So I'm not really, to be honest, I'm not worried about the Rams wide receivers, especially if Todd Gurley does take a step back. They'll probably have to throw the ball more. I know Daryl Henderson will pop up, but they're going to throw the ball a little bit more because that's going to be more effective. You know, it'll be a lot of bubble screens instead of, you know, the run game and things like that. So To be honest, that's why I'm boosting Jared Goff a little bit in my rankings, because I feel like they will pass more. Regardless, like, even if Todd Gurley looks fairly healthy, they're still going to take carries away from him.
But it's just like, if you take that three core, and let's say it's not all three of them have 1,000 yards, you know, but it's like two of them are going to really span out. Someone's got to take the hit. I mean, they could all take a hit from each other. I just look at Brandon Cooks, who we've seen disappear before in some offenses. And that's why I feel like I want to say, is it unlikely that this guy could have 65 catches, 850 yards, and a couple touchdowns, and Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods are the big beneficiaries? Because it's like small check down Kupp, mid check down is Woods. What role does that leave Brandon Cooks outside of the big deep play? So maybe he's a bigger touchdown option. Like, I think he could have, if you look at single game scoring, I think Brandon Cook could have the two highest single game scoring from a Rams receiver this year, while also saying that I think he could be the lowest scoring of the three on a consistent overall basis.
Yeah, I understand.
It's just speculation, because it's hard to gauge this.
I was wrong. I thought the odd man out last year was going to be Cooper Kupp, and he was really good until he hurt his knee.
If anything, he might be the number one this year.
Right. And so I'm not going to rank him too much lower than those other Rams guys at all this year. And I'll definitely take the L on that one, because I was right overall about his ranking because he got hurt. But if he hadn't got hurt, he would have laughed in my face. So
the first 8 weeks, you were sweating.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. He was good. So it was a bad call by me last season. So I'm not really going to knock anyone from the Rams. So I can't buy into that one. If I have to buy into one out of this group, I think it's going to be Sammy Watkins. And I love Sammy Watkins, and his talent is huge, but he is he's the original Leonard Fournette at wide receiver.
Yeah.
Like, the guy he was drafted four overall by the Bills, never can make it happen. Supremely talented, but the guy always has some type of a nagging injury. And this is exactly where everybody should want to rank Watkins higher, with the looming suspension for Tyreek Hill. And, you know, they brought in inexperienced players in Kansas City, you know, like Mecole Hardman is inexperienced even for college production. So they don't have many other guys that have his type of talent, but the guy is going to end up getting hurt, and he's going to play like 8 games. It's what he does every year. It's super annoying. So I think that's the guy that I would choose to bust out of this group.
We only have literally a minute. On the quarterbacks list, you see Brady, Breeze, Ryan, Mahomes, Roethlisberger, Newton, Goff, Lamar Jackson. They're all there, and they're all wildly different. I don't even know if I could pick one out of these.
Lamar Jackson's on both lists. So, I mean, yeah. You know.
I mean, I just don't even know. Like, maybe Matt Ryan. Like, Matt Ryan, his expectations are back high. You know, whenever they're low, he seems to overperform. They're skyrocket high now. So,
look, I could tell you this: my quarterback that I draft will not be on this list because it will be late.
Yeah, well, so, it could be Goff. You got Goff in a 12 man of the last pick.
Yeah, well, I'm saying, but he won't bust because he'll be my last pick.
But like, see, that's
even if he does bust, it doesn't matter. I throw him on the scrap heap, grab somebody.
That's part of the problem why I have a problem with this, because look, Brady's on here. He's going outside of the top 12. Breeze towards the bottom of the 12. Roethlisberger towards the bottom. Newton towards the bottom. The only guys that are going on the high end here are Mahomes and Matt Ryan that are ranked here. So that's what's interesting. And that's what's interesting about the conversation overall. But that's the show, guys. You can catch more football talk over on the ITL Fantasy Football Podcast this week. 2 great episodes. Make sure you're locked there. And guess what? We'll be back with you next week. So don't you go anywhere. Thank you to Bogman. Thank you to FNTSY. And thank you to you on this 4th of July weekend. Hope you guys had a great one. And we will talk to you guys next week. Peace.